Ever get that feeling like your phone's listening to you? You know, you're talking about wanting a new pair of shoes, and then bam, ads for shoes all over your feed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, get ready for something even creepier.
Oh.
There's this book I just finished, Mind Masters by Sandra Matz. And let me tell you, it is a real eye-opener. It's all about this new science of predicting and influencing our behavior using data.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard a lot about this book. It really makes you question just how much control we have over our own thoughts and actions, right? In this digital age.
Right, exactly. And so Matt starts with this idea of a digital village. She actually grew up in a small village in Germany where, you know, everyone knew everyone else's
I can
business.
imagine, yeah.
And she talks about, you know, when she had a motorcycle accident as a teenager, the whole village knew about it the next day. And so now she's arguing that we're living in a similar kind of village, just on a global scale, thanks to technology.
That makes sense, yeah.
And the thing is, it's not just about what we're actively sharing on social media, right? It's all those little digital breadcrumbs we leave behind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our phone usage, our shopping habits, even how often we charge our phones, it all adds up to a pretty detailed picture of who we are.
Well, that's kind of scary. But it's fascinating how algorithms can use this data to predict our personality traits,
Yeah.
often better than our friends, family, and even spouses.
Oh, absolutely. That whole Facebook knows you better than your spouse thing. Turns out that's not just a catchy headline. There's actual research to back it up.
There is. Matz and her colleagues at Cambridge found that algorithms could predict someone's personality with surprising accuracy
Really?
just by analyzing their Facebook likes.
Wow. So you think you know your partner? Wait till you see what their Spotify playlist says about them.
Exactly.
But seriously, how do these algorithms actually work?
Well, it all boils down to machine learning. It's basically teaching a computer to recognize patterns in data. And the more data the algorithm has, the better it gets at making predictions.
So every time we click or like or buy something online, we're basically training these algorithms to understand us better. And the thing
Exactly.
is, it's not just about predicting our personalities. Matz goes on to explain how this technology can be used to influence our behavior in all sorts of ways.
Oh, yeah. That's where things get really interesting and a little bit unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or bad.
Exactly. Matz talks about how psychological targeting can be used to personalize education, help people make better financial decisions, even detect signs of depression early on. But it can also be used for things like manipulating voters or selling us products we don't need.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's dive into the personality traits themselves. We're talking about the big five, right? Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. You think you're neurotic? Wait till you see what your Amazon shopping history says about you.
Right. Well, the book highlights some interesting studies.
Oh, does it?
For example, researchers found that highly conscientious people tend to keep their phones charged above 60%.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you're constantly scrambling for a charger, that might say something about your personality.
Yeah.
Who knew our phones were such snitches? But seriously, it's not just about charging habits. Matz explains how everything from the words we use in social media posts to our spending patterns can reveal insights about our personalities.
Oh, absolutely. One example that stuck with me was how extroverts tend to use certain words more frequently in their Facebook posts, like party and weekend.
Okay, that's kind of funny. But also a little creepy, right? I mean, it makes you wonder what other kinds of patterns these algorithms are picking up on.
Exactly. And the book really gets you thinking about the ethical implications of all of this.
Right, because it's not just about whether these algorithms are accurate, it's about how this information is being used and who's benefiting from it. Remember that whole Cambridge Analytica scandal?
Yeah, that was definitely a wake-up call for a lot of people, and Matz doesn't shy away from discussing those darker aspects of psychological targeting.
Yeah, and the book really made me think about how we're constantly being nudged and influenced in ways we're not even aware of. I don't want to give too much away, but there's this one experiment Matz describes
Oh.
where they showed people the insights derived from their data and then offered to buy that data from them.
Interesting.
And the results were pretty surprising.
Oh, I bet.
Let's just say people weren't exactly demanding a fortune for their digital selves,
Wow.
which makes you wonder, how much do we really value our own data?
That's a great question, and one that Matz explores throughout the book.
So, okay, we've established that these algorithms can figure out a lot about us, maybe even more than we know ourselves. But the question is, what do we do about it?
Well, that's where the book gets really interesting. Matz talks about potential solutions like federated learning, where algorithms can learn from our data without actually accessing it directly.
That was
It's like
cool.
having your cake and eating it too,
I
privacy-wise.
like that.
And then there are things like data co-ops, where users collectively own and control their data, sort of like a farmer's market, but for data.
Oh, interesting.
Exactly. And she gives some really cool examples of how these solutions are being used in the real world.
So there, IS Hope. But before we get into all that, I want to talk about the future of psychological targeting. Because Matz really goes there.
Uh-oh.
Things are about to get even weirder. We're talking microbots, brain-computer interfaces, the ability to literally experience the world through someone else's senses.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm both intrigued and slightly terrified, but I have to know more. And that, my friends, is where we'll leave you hanging until part two of our deep dive into Mind Masters.
Oh no, you can't do this to us. Welcome back to our deep dive into Sandra Matz's Mind Masters. Before we went on, we were talking about the future of psychological targeting and some of the mind-bending technologies on the horizon.
Yeah, microbots in our bloodstream, brain-computer interfaces. It's like something straight out of science fiction.
Right. It really makes you question what it means to be human in a world where technology is becoming so intertwined with our biology.
And speaking of questions, I have a ton of them after reading this book. Like, okay, we know these algorithms can predict and influence our behavior, but what are the ethical implications of all this? Matz calls it the dark side of psychological targeting. Honestly, it's a bit unnerving.
Absolutely. One of the biggest concerns is the potential for manipulation. We already talked about Cambridge Analytica and the impact on elections, but it goes way beyond that.
Right. Like, think about targeted advertising. It's one thing to see ads for shoes after you've been talking about them, but what if those ads are specifically designed to exploit your insecurities or play on your emotions?
Exactly. Matz argues that we need to be much more aware of how these techniques are being used and who's benefiting from them. Because, let's face it, not everyone has our best interests at heart.
Okay, so awareness is key. What else can we do to protect ourselves? I mean, it feels like we're constantly bombarded with information and choices, and it's easy to just go with the flow, you know?
Right. It's like we're on autopilot most of the time. But Matz talks about the importance of developing what she calls psychological resilience.
Psychological resilience. Okay, I need to hear more about this.
Basically, it's about being more mindful of how technology is shaping our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. It's about recognizing the subtle ways we're being influenced and nudged, and then making conscious choices about how we respond.
So it's about taking back control, right? Not just blindly accepting whatever's being thrown at us.
Exactly. It's about asking questions like, who is benefiting from my data? What are the potential downsides to sharing this information? And most importantly, what are my alternatives?
So it's about being informed and empowered rather than just passive consumers.
Precisely. And that requires a shift in mindset. We need to stop thinking of ourselves as just users of technology and start seeing ourselves as active participants in shaping how this technology is developed and used.
Okay, I like that. It's about reclaiming our agency in a world that's increasingly driven by algorithms.
Yeah.
But how do we actually do that? I mean, it's
Yeah.
easy to say be more mindful, but in practice, it's a lot harder.
Well, Matz talks about the importance of building online spaces where we feel connected and supported rather than just tracked and targeted. It's about creating communities where we can share information, discuss these issues, and hold each other accountable.
So it's about finding our digital tribe, so to speak.
Exactly. And that might involve rethinking the very structure of social media platforms, moving away from these massive centralized networks and towards something more decentralized and user-owned.
Okay, now that's an idea I can get behind.
Yeah.
Because right now, it feels like we're all just cogs in someone else's machine.
Right. And Matz argues that we need to find ways to break free from that and create something better, something that puts people first rather than profits.
I love that. And speaking of putting people first, let's talk about the ethical considerations that are at play here. Because knowing that something can be done doesn't necessarily mean it should be done. I mean, there were some serious ethical dilemmas when it comes to this technology.
Absolutely. And Matz dedicates a whole chapter to this, exploring the potential downsides of psychological targeting.
Like, for example,
Well, one of the biggest concerns is the potential for bias and discrimination. If algorithms are trained on data that reflects existing societal biases, they could end up perpetuating and even amplifying those biases.
so it's not just about the technology itself, it's about the data that's being used to train these algorithms.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be critical of where this data is coming from and who's controlling it.
And then there's the whole issue of privacy, which we touched on earlier. I mean, even with things like opt-in defaults and data co-ops, there's still a risk that our data could be used in ways we don't consent to.
Absolutely. And as technology advances, those lines are only going to get blurrier. Think about those smart glasses and contact lenses that are in development. They'll be able to capture everything we see and hear.
It's like Big Brother on steroids.
But okay, let's say we do care about privacy. What can we actually do about it? Because as you said earlier, this technology isn't going away.
That's the challenge. And Matz doesn't pretend to have all the answers, but she does offer some potential solutions, like federated learning and data co-ops.
Right. We talked about those earlier, but they're still relatively new, and it remains to be seen how widely they'll be adopted.
Exactly. And even with those safeguards in place, there's still a sense of inevitability to all of this. Like, are we really just pawns in this data game? Is there any way to maintain our sense of agency in this digital world?
It's a question that's been nagging at me ever since I finished the book. And what's interesting is that Matz doesn't just focus on the technological solutions. She also talks about the importance of individual awareness and action.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice? How do we become more aware and take action in a way that actually makes a difference?
Well, she talks about the importance of educating ourselves about how this technology works, being more critical of the information we consume online, and advocating for policies that protect our digital rights.
So it's not just about protecting ourselves, it's about shaping the future of this technology in a way that benefits everyone.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we have a voice and using it to demand a more ethical and equitable digital world.
Okay, so we've talked about the problem, the potential solutions, and the ethical considerations. But Matz also offers a glimpse into what a future with psychological targeting might actually look like. And honestly, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Right. On one hand, there are incredible possibilities for personalized healthcare, education, and even entertainment. Imagine treatments tailored to your unique genetic makeup, education that adapts to your learning style, and entertainment curated to your specific tastes.
It's like having a personal concierge for every aspect of your life.
Exactly. But then there's the flip side. Matz also talks about the potential for increased surveillance, manipulation, and even social control.
So it's like a double-edged sword, right?
Absolutely. And Matz argues that we need to be having these conversations and now, W, before it's too late, because the decisions we make today will have a profound impact on the kind of digital world we create for ourselves and for future generations.
Wow. Okay. Lots to think about. And that, my friends, is where we'll leave you hanging until part three of our deep dive into Mind Masters.
We'll be back to unpack even more and hopefully leave you with a sense of hope and empowerment.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into Mind Masters. So far, we've been exploring this world of psychological targeting. You know, where algorithms can predict and influence our behavior, sometimes even better than we know ourselves. And honestly, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, right. It's fascinating, but also a little unsettling to realize just how much data we're generating every day.
I know, right?
And how that data can be used to shape our thoughts, feelings, and actions.
Okay, so we've covered the potential benefits and the risks, the ethical dilemmas, even the future of this technology.
Yeah.
But now I want to talk about what we can actually do about it, because honestly, after reading this book, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. Like, where do we even begin?
I get it. Yeah, it's a lot to process. But Matz doesn't leave us hanging. The final part of the book focuses on solutions and what she calls reclaiming our agency in the digital age.
Okay, reclaiming our agency. I like the sound of that. But what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, it starts with understanding the value of our data. Right now, it feels like these tech giants are the ones cashing in while we're just handing over our digital selves for free, right? But Matz argues that we need to start seeing our data as a valuable asset, something that we have control over.
Which is easier said than done, right? I mean, most of us just click accept all cookies without even thinking about it.
Right, and that's exactly what these companies are banking on. But Matz argues that we need to be more mindful of the data we're sharing and who's benefiting from it.
So being more aware of our digital footprint, reading those privacy policies, being more selective about what we share online.
Exactly. And it's not just about individual actions. Matz also talks about the importance of systemic change, right? We need stronger data privacy regulations, policies that give us more control over our data, and a shift away from these massive centralized platforms that are collecting so much information about us.
So it's a two-pronged approach, individual awareness and action, coupled with systemic change.
Exactly. And there are already some promising initiatives underway. Mats talks about things like data co-ops,
Oh, yeah.
where users collectively own and control their data, and federated learning, where algorithms can learn from our data without actually accessing it directly.
We talked about those earlier. I have to admit, I'm really intrigued by these ideas. It's like finding ways to harness the power of technology without sacrificing our privacy or autonomy.
Exactly. And Mats gives some great real-world examples of how these solutions are being implemented. It's inspiring to see people pushing back against the status quo and creating a more ethical and equitable digital world.
Okay, so there I is hope. But even with all of these solutions, it's still a bit daunting, you know, to think about how to navigate this complex digital landscape. I mean, it's like we're constantly bombarded with information and choices, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed and just give in.
Yeah, I hear you. It's definitely a challenge, but Mats argues that we need to shift our mindset from passive consumers to active participants. We need to start seeing ourselves as citizens of this digital world with rights and responsibilities.
Okay, I like that. It's about taking ownership of our digital lives rather than just being swept along by the current.
Exactly. And it's about having these conversations, right, with our friends, family, and communities. Because the more awareness we raise, the more pressure we can put on those in power to create a more ethical and equitable digital world.
So My Masters isn't just a book about technology, it's a call to action.
Right. It's a reminder that we have the power to shape the digital future we want. It's not going to be easy, but it's essential if we want to preserve our privacy, our autonomy, and our humanity in this increasingly digital age.
Well said. And that, my friends, is our deep dive into Mind Masters. It's been a wild ride full of fascinating insights and thought-provoking challenges. But most importantly, it's left me feeling empowered. Like, we're not just pawns in this data game. We have the power to shape the rules.
Absolutely. I hope our listeners feel the same way.
So if you're ready to take control of your digital life and become a mind master yourself, go grab a copy of the book. You won't regret it. And in the meantime, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay engaged. The future of the digital world depends on it.